Acts chapter number 26, and if you're wondering who this young man is with me, his name is Jared Haas. He's a young preacher out of the church, and he's 17 years old, and he's 6'4". 17 and 6 foot four. He's got a brother that's about 19, 20 years old, right? And he just got home from deployment, and he's serving over at Fort Carson right now. And I think he's, what, about 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", something around there. And I was telling Sister Dixie about that, and she was just talking about how God will let you grow into perfection. And I'm 5'7", and I'm okay with that. So all those who would, if you found your spot in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, why don't you stand with us for the reading? And I'm going to go ahead and start in the 19th verse. And I don't know how long I'll have a voice. Maybe I'll just have to hack it out. But I think that'll be all right. We see in verse 19 where it says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but shewed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to all the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God." I say amen to that. "And do works meet for repentance. And for this cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and to great, saying none other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should shew light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad.' But he said, 'I am not mad, mad, most noble Festus, but great, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a quarter. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest.' Then Agrippa said unto Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.' And Paul said, 'I would to God that thou not only, but also that thou hear me this day, where both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds.' Father God, I can't do this without you. And Lord, I'm so thankful to be able to preach your word, and I'm thankful that you put me in the ministry, but God, I can't do this without you. Lord, I'd ask that, Father, you would touch me. Give me the unction, Lord God. Use me, Lord. Allow me to be removed of self. Forgive me of sin, Lord. Help me to be exactly what you would have me to be. Lord, touch this church. These people are so special to me, and they bless me each time that I'm able to come. And Lord, I love them. And God, I just pray that you would touch the pastor as he's away and the family, Lord, and just help them, Lord God. Rejuvenate them. Allow them to grow, Lord. Touch my pastor, Lord God. Bless our church. Lord, you can do all things, and I truly believe that. And I just ask that, God, above all, that if there be one who's lost, may they realize, Lord Father, that without you, oh God, without you, there is no hope. Lord, I just ask that, Father, that you would touch us and lead us and guide us. Be your will in your son's sweet and heavenly name, and amen. You may be seated. Now, by way of introduction, a few things in this bit of scripture, this holy record jumped out at me. I mean, you got Paul who's giving this testimony, and I love how he gives this testimony, because he gives it with such unction, and he gives it with such direction, and he tells about where God brought him from, and he talks about how the Lord brought before him. If you go into verse 14, where he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And hey, this is one of the greatest things that I've ever heard just out of Paul. You see where he says, "And I said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" He knew that someone far greater, someone far mightier, someone far powerful had done this thing to him. And I'm thankful that I know one who is far greater, far mightier, far powerful, one with the absolute gift of love, the one who is love. I'm thankful that I can call him Lord. And I'm thankful that he knows me. But we go on to see that as he's beginning this testimony, he begins to tell what the Lord says. And we understand here as he begins to tell about his walk and how he wasn't disobedient. And no doubt how people tried to remind him of who he was and what he's done. You ever have somebody do that? You remember what you did all those years ago and all the times that you messed up? I get that a lot in my mind. And sometimes I'll think to myself, Satan, this is just Satan. Get thee behind me. Pray that the Lord will just do this. But here's what I've also realized. A lot of times it's me just getting in my own way. A lot of times I just get in my own way. We understand that Festus is telling Paul that he's mad. He says this, and this is what blows me away right here. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Such learning doth make thee mad. Now, I could go on with this message and tell you about all the things some of the things that this Saul of Tarsus knew. I mean, he was a man of great learning ability. I mean, he was a man of great pedigree. He was a man of the Pharisees, a student of Gamaliel out of Tarsus. We understand that. We could talk about his persecution. And I'm not just talking about the persecution that he endured himself, but we could talk about the persecution that he inflicted on Christians and how he urged those ones in the temple to give him letters that he might go to Damascus and that he might pull those men and women out of their homes and that he might hurl them into the streets and throw them into prison. I mean, this is who Saul of Tarsus was, but we see here that Festus is more worried about this apostle Paul, this wonderful Christian man who has this knowledge that God has given him. I mean, he walked 3.5 years in the desert with him. He learned of him. He was taught face to face with him, and he's looking at him and saying, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. Everything that you're saying is wrong. But we see here that Paul does not let that get in his way. And we're going to touch on that in just a few seconds. But here's the thing that breaks my heart. And you've heard a message perhaps preached on this. But I'm going to, the Lord has led me just a different way in the sense of this. That word almost. King Agrippa looked at him and said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now here's the thing. We have lost people day in and day out, service in and service out. They'll sit in the pew and they'll be okay with the message because, hey, as long as you don't call me out, as long as you don't mess with me, as long as you just let me go through the motions, we're okay. I don't need all this religion stuff. But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you flat out. It's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And if you don't have that relationship, guess what? There's only one way for you. Remember, he said it's hard to kick against the pricks. You know what that meant? They didn't have electric cattle prods back then. They had these long sticks that had points at the end of them. And when the ox or the cattle begin to kick back, you know what they felt? They felt a poke. Time and time again, Sister Dixie, I have pushed against the Lord. I have let him down. But here's the thing. He's always right there to remind me, hey, I'm still here. Hey, what you're doing is wrong. Hey, what you're doing, that's not what I died for. Hey, that's not what I sent my son for. It's time to get back on the path. Almost does not cut it. This evening, if I can just for a few moments preach on this simple thought, how to get past almost. How to get past almost. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. This is a message for the lost, but this is also a message for the church. Because church, we got to get past almost telling someone about the Lord. We got to get past almost giving someone a gospel tract. We got to get past almost walking away from the conversations of this world. The off-color jokes, the music, the television. And here's the thing. I'm not preaching against any of that. But when we start opening our minds and our ears and our hearts to the world, that's exactly what we get. When we don't focus on Him, we're focusing on everything else. Could you imagine if God stopped focusing on us? The very molecules that we breathe can explode because of the hydrogen, because of the oxygen. But God focuses and he keeps it that perfect amount that we are able to live. That's a little science for you. I don't know where that came from. I don't have much of an education. Yeah, I went to college, but don't tell anybody. But here's the thing, is that when you think about what God keeps us, I mean, he keeps us together. He keeps us safe. He gives us grace and he gives us mercy. What if he took a break? Elijah looked at those 450 or 850, if you count the prophets of the grove and prophets of Baal, and said, perhaps your God is away, or perhaps he's on a peradventure, or perhaps he's asleep. My God does not do that. There is no almost with God. There is no maybe. I want you to look at what almost means. Nearly. Nearly. Close for the greatest part. Used to hear a man say this, if you don't do things with your whole heart, no matter what, it's still half-hearted. There's no three quarters of the way. There's no, if you don't do things all the way, might as well not do them at all. Might as well not do them at all. We understand here that as we look at that almost, we see that Paul speaks of not only almost. Remember this King Agrippa, this man, if I've done study right, perhaps a proselyte, perhaps a Jew, but we see that he knows, he's researched, he's studied the prophets. We understand that he's a learned man. I mean, if you talked about the law to him, Brother Jared, he knew all about it. And guess what? So did Paul. If we actually do some study, we can tell you about the law. We can tell you about the 613 different commandments that the Pharisees lived by, 603 and the Ten Commandments that they had built around. We can tell you about a lot of things about the law. But here's the thing. Paul wasn't telling them about the law. He said this. He said this, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Isaiah was a prophet, and guess who he talked about? Jesus. He preached the coming of the Lord. He told you exactly what his name would be. He told you in Isaiah 53 that he would be despised and rejected of men. He said that he would be a lamb as a lamb led to the slaughter. We understand that the prophets wrote about Christ. Paul said, I know thou believest the prophets. But he said then, Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You were almost there. But we understand, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, we're both almost and altogether such as I am. I don't want my family to almost get saved. I don't want my children to almost get saved. I would rather them be saved than to be a church member. That's scary, isn't it? I would rather them be saved than be a church member. I had the blessing and the honor and the privilege and just the amazing opportunity to baptize my son. And I'm telling you what, that was the greatest feeling in the whole world, except for the water. It was so cold. I honestly, and this is the truth, I had to leg sweep him to go down because it was that cold. He wouldn't go down. I'm going through it. And he's like, Dad, there's no way you're going to get me under. And I'm like, watch this. And I leg swept him and he went down. But if he's not saved, that was just a little dry center coming back up as a wet center. For the longest time, I kept asking him, Bub, are you sure? Well, yeah. Can I do anything to disprove you? Can I get you anything that will make you stop being saved? Nope. Are you sure? Yep. Finally, he started getting really upset with me. Dad, I know. And I stopped. And I said, and I thought to myself, praise God for that. Sometimes, I've got to sit there with myself. Are you sure? Oh, I'm saved. You've messed up a lot. I'm saved. Yeah, but you fail a lot. But I'm saved. I thank God for conviction. I thank God that it wasn't just almost with me. But we see here as Paul speaks about all together, and I began to think about what will it take to get past almost. And I've only got 3 points, and I'm going to try to take as much time as I can. So as long as, you know, you're up by work, we're fine. I've got to be in by 7. First of all, just kidding. But more importantly, it takes driving determination. What will it take to get past almost? Paul is the perfect pattern. I mean, he is the perfect example. You look at Paul, a man of religion, a man of power, a man of wealth. And you know what? Here's the thing. There are a lot of religious, wealthy people out there that think they're okay. And I'm not telling you that there's nothing wrong with having money in the bank. There's nothing wrong with it at all. In fact, if you want to donate some, praise God. But what I'm saying is this. Is it religion or a relationship? Now, we talk about that old-time religion, and we know what that old-time religion is. But here's the thing, is that we've got so much religion going on that we're not worried about a relationship. When I talk about a relationship, I talk about that relationship with that one who died for us. And when I talk about driving determination, we need to remember that, hey, somebody prayed for us. Somebody talked to the Lord about us. Somebody went to the throne room of grace and said, hey, Lord, I'm praying right now for Brother David Fields. I'm praying right now for Brother Jared Haas. I'm praying right now for Kara Gaines. I want them saved. I want them saved. That driving determination, there's a few things we need to remember. First of all, I want you to look at verses 24 and 25. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, now I want you to look at how Paul answered Festus. He didn't say, listen here, old boy. He didn't say, listen to me, what I'm about to tell you. But what he said was something that we need to have at every ounce of our being when somebody tries to put us down. It says here, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Paul had some tact. Paul had some respect. Paul understood what was going on. I mean, we can get in some name calling back and forth, left and right. You can call me something, I can call you something, but at the end of the day, hey, it don't amount to a hill of beans. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. I think he said it just like that too. I think he said it with respect and honor, remembering who he was speaking to. He said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the word of truth and soberness. He had some tact, but he also had tenacity. He knew exactly what he was talking about. He knew exactly who he was talking about. I want you to understand this, is that we need to get on board with the fact of realizing why we are the way we are. Who we serve. Why exactly are we Christian? Why exactly did I get saved? Why exactly do I use the King James Bible? Why exactly am I an independent Baptist? Why exactly do I need my family to be saved? At the end of the day, it's all about Jesus. But if we come out like these men and women with our chest puffed out and our head held high, hey, I am blessed and I am thankful to be a Christian. But I do not want pride to overtake me. Remember what Paul said. He said, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me." Paul wasn't liked, but he was loved. He was loved by Jesus. So we not only do we see driving determination, we must understand that the determination of falsehood is very prevalent. We must understand that men who perhaps we have voted for are more apt to compromise than to agonize. They just signed today that act where they didn't want the government to be in marriage, but yet the government took control of it. I'm telling you, it's a word salad, isn't it? But here's the thing. It's not a piece of paper, but it's what God ordained and set up. You can say what you are all you want, but the truth will be heard. Not only do we see driving determination, but we see deliberate discipleship. Listen. If we don't believe, know, and grow, how can we be an influence to others, saved or lost? Remember, I just went back and told you that we need to understand why we are the way we are. And it's not about being better than anybody, because I am not better than anybody. Brother Johnny even said he was wondering how my son was so good looking. Well, it's mom. I'm not better than anybody. Even though he looks like me, it's all because of his mama. But when we live our life and how we walk and how we work, how we do our day to day, are we honoring God? When we're at school, are we honoring God? At work, at home, in privacy, are we honoring God? Look, when I look at that word deliberate, it means to weigh on the mind. And that's something that I've been praying about a lot. Lord, let my focus be you. Let it all be about you. We must be focused. Paul here, at any given time, someone could have killed Paul. Paul knew that he had a purpose. But it didn't matter. Just one more. One more. And then I'm about done. Not only do we need determination, not only do we need deliberate discipleship, but we need to remember that we have a detailed design. I find myself sometimes going, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Paul asked the same thing. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, why am I doing this? Lord, what am I supposed to do?" And then we're reminded that God has a plan. And to be a part of that plan, we need to be submissive. We need to remain under subjection. We need to act. We not just need to act saved, but we need to show people that we are saved. It's getting harder and harder. Harder and harder to play Christian. It really is. You see these people who are not saved, but for the longest time, you wouldn't have known them different from anybody else. But it is getting harder and harder for them to play Christian. Because in today's society, to be a Christian is to, in their mind, to be the lowest of the low. And you know what? I don't want to be held high. I want to hold him high. If I've got to be brought low, I've been brought low before, time and time again. But if he gets the glory out of it, so be it. My favorite verse in the Bible, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We're going to face persecution, hard times. It's not going to, here's the thing, everybody wonders, is my problem just going to go away? Absolutely not. But you're not going to do it alone. That's the wonderful thing about being a disciple. That's the wonderful thing about being a Christian. That's the wonderful thing about being a member in the family of God, is not only you're not going to do it alone because Christ is going to be there, but I know exactly if I was to ask you for help, I believe you would do it. That's what a family does. You know what else a family does? They don't hold it over your head. They don't remind you of all the things that they've done for you. Now, we all got those family members that do that. Remember what you used to do. Remember what I've done for you. What can I do to help you out? What can I do to maybe take that burden off a little bit? Can I pray for you? Regardless of you saying yes or no, I'm going to do it. We have a detailed design, and I'm almost done. In this detailed design, we see three things. First of all, we see that it's proven. It's been proven time and time again. How many times have they tried to take his name off the building or take his name off the money or try to remove him from the schoolhouse? How many times, I was just thinking about this, if I would have gotten saved younger, I'd have loved just to be able to read my Bible in the middle of school. I didn't get saved until I was 21. Landon's got a Bible, and he got one from Brother Caleb, this Action Bible. It's amazing. And a few months ago, they have this thing at school where they don't want you to bring in outside books. He said, "Daddy, can I take my Action Bible?" You talk about being between a rock and a hard place right there. Take it anytime he wants. Not only is it proven, but it's precious. Verse 10 and or chapter 10, verse 15 of Romans says this: "And how shall they preach except they be sent? And as it was written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring tidings of good things." 12:2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect." It's the third point. Perfect will of God. God's plan is proven. God's plan is precious. God's plan is perfect. I will ask you this. I will, as your unofficial assistant pastor, as Bill David just said, I'm the best assistant pastor that he's never had. But I'll ask you this evening, and I know we're going to have prayer. I know we're going to have prayer. But I think it's time that we pray for unction. I think it's time that we pray to get past almost. Meaning this, that we need to get past almost telling someone about the Lord. We need to get past almost coming before the Lord and asking to be saved. Because here's the thing, almost will get us nowhere. Y'all know my testimony. You know that I wasn't raised in a Christian home, you know that I have dealt with many things in my life, and when I was in the military, came face to face with just inner things and the way I was brought up as a child. And to be honest with you, I'm still dealing with those things to this day. But the thing is this, is that I don't do it alone. I don't have to face it alone. I want to tell everybody that. Don't have to do it alone anymore. Because here's what the world wants. They want to separate us. They want to say, hey, look, if you're going to be the way that you are, then guess what? We're going to come take it from you. It's not going to happen. Because they can try. But there's no almost. It's not going to happen. Driving determination. Deliberate discipleship. And we have a detailed design. That's how we get past almost. It's either Jesus Christ or nothing. It's either heaven or hell. The choice is yours. Brother David, I'm done.